With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance and you at 713-780-3776. We'll get to the Astros in the next segment here. Astros with, and it's on AT&T. If you missed the seventh inning last night, what it was like about the most, it was the sloppiest inning I think I've seen Astros baseball. Hit by pitch, pass ball, two throwing errors, walks. I mean, it just was ridiculous. It couldn't have been worse. It was the worst since Saturday when Fromber gave up that three spot on a swing and bunt, a pass ball, and a wild pitch. So, but the Astros prevailed, and we'll talk about that on the other side. Keith wants to talk. He wants to talk about an ex-radio host. Let's get this in here before we get to this New York radio announcer. What do you say, Keith?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, the other day, you guys referenced Ed Fowler, and that's what I wanted to comment on. And for those who don't know out there, Ed was once huge in this town. I mean, he had his own sports column in the Houston Chronicle, and not only that, he had his own radio show on KPRC AM. When I first started listening to sports talk radio in the early 90s, it was Ed Fowler who I listened to. And, of course, Lance, you did the invitation, and that was money. I mean, and that voice is just awesome. It is. But, Ed was entertaining as hell, and I used to religiously read his column. And the reason I did, when Ed Fowler went after you in print, when he criticized you, he could grind you to dust with his words. I mean,
he was nasty sometimes. Well, not nasty is not the right word, but he was definitely
Well, back then, the Dale Robertsons.
Well, no, that was their job. Richard Justice would too. The opinion, the columnists, if the Texans, whatever, they would go after.
They would go, yeah.
And they would, and but they
and
would
they were
lay
more
it out.
Biting than they are today.
Very, very biting.
Yeah.
Jerome still has a little bit of that.
Yeah, no, Jerome. Jerome can still. He'll cut you.
Actually,
Jerome will cut you.
Brian T. Smith does. I don't read as much of it now as I used to when it was a newspaper.
Right. So, speaking of radio hosts, New York, this guy got a call from a listener who, the listener said, the listener was so, it was a New Yorker, and he said that this host said something about the Yankees, about which player is not hitting that they got to get rid of. Anyway, one of the Yankees that's not hitting, and he said he's got to get out of the, or he's fine. The Yankees are fine. They're in first place and everything else. And this caller said, "You're an idiot. The only reason you're on the air is because of Michael Kay, and this guy's got to go. So you don't know anything." And it started to build up with this radio host to this crescendo of screaming on the radio.
That's how he's hurting
him. Oh, my God. Is that what you need to do? Well, stop with your Michael Kay. I'm on the air. I worked at the Fan before Michael Kay. I do Ranger games without Michael Kay. 16 years doing pre and post for the Jets. Guess what? No Michael Kay. I got a podcast that's in the top 50 in every country on the planet. No Michael Kay. I've got two kids. I've got a wife. 17 years I'll be married during September. Guess what? No Michael Kay. I've got hair that people would die to have. Michael Kay, nothing. I'm a fabulous driver. Michael Kay's got nothing to do with it. I'm one of the best friends you could ever have in your life. Zero to do with Michael Kay.
Do not ever say to me, you wouldn't have the guts to say it to my face, Michael Kay's got nothing to do with what I am and who I am. I can work with Michael Kay. I can work without Michael Kay. You better bring it. You ask me questions, I answer them. I ask you questions, you say, Don, 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 Don. That's what Cuber was saying when I was tripping on mesk in 84.
That is one of the all-time great rants. Don LaGreco. I never heard of him.
I haven't either, but he clearly...
LaGreco.
He clearly has a good sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the things he was throwing in there, I'm a better driver.
I'm a great driver.
I got nothing to do with my hair. I mean, he obviously has a really good sense of humor, but that was, that was good.
That was great. That is one of the best rants ever because it was funny, too. Who's the most likely to rant on this show, RJ? RJ's been here for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely to...
Now, he hasn't really seen a big rant at all.
No. In your opinion, RJ, just a guess. Most likely to rant on this show.
I feel like I keep hearing. If Lance gets riled up enough, he will rant.
No. You hit that nail on the head.
Actually,
right on the head.
Do you have that? You can actually play the sound if it's still on the. Or do you even have it where it is, where I queued it up? I don't know if you don't want to start it at the beginning, but
Lance?
I've gotten
SDH. Is that what we're talking about here? Are we talking about your brisket?
No, well, I mean, there was that. There was when Drayton was bringing dogs to the park where I was so pissed off at Drayton.
When you were puking blood in the driveway?
Puking blood in the driveway about Albert Pujols. Well, it was about the Astros pitching to Albert Pujols. The same way in New York should be vomiting all over their, you know, wildly expensive studio apartments that cost them $4,100 a month. I don't know. Here, we'll hear if this sounds like a rant.
Put him in position to do something different.
What do you mean? Put him in position.
Because John, there's a million different things you can do.
Something.
Twist. Bring him inside. Let him rush from three technique. For God's sake, do something different, Frank. Bring different blitz packages, combinations. Come off the edge. Start with the jam, and then back off at the line of scrimmage. Disguise coverages. It's not going on, John. It's not going on. There's nothing going on. It is a straight vanilla defense that they're trying to do. There's nothing that's confusing but pre-snap read for quarterback. Nothing. They give... I see you, Dell. They're not... He has got to get creative. If you don't have... You better make some lemonade out of those lemons. That's Frank Bush's job. Because every coach in the NFL will have a weakness at some point, and they're still expected to perform. Frank Bush does not get off the hook, and I'm a Frank Bush fan. And I've defended him here.
No idea.
But 31 points to the Chiefs, no good. No good in any dimension.
Every once in a
sucks
while.
Sucks ass! No good. No good.
Okay.
Chiefs 31, no good.
I get that.
God bless.
But every once in a while, why is it always on the coach? Why can't the players, why can't they do something? You know what? This is exactly what I was afraid of with Brian Cushing coming back, by the way. That he would not be the same. Guess what? Brian Cushing is a half a step behind. Last year when he was making plays and disrupting, he has disrupted nothing in two games. And now, he wasn't there for four games. When he wasn't there for the first four preseason games, he came out like a mother in the first two regular season games last year and was all over the field making plays. Guess what, name the play Brian Cushing made yesterday. Name the play.
There's no play that any defender made.
No.
What do you want me to say?
And guess what? You got one of the best linebackers, allegedly one of the best linebackers in football Brian Cushing, rookie of the year.
Now you're mad.
Is this my rant or your rant?
Yeah, it was both of us. It was the Texans doing something.
I thought it was going to be your rant.
Did you hear how much we? Well, yeah, I've got way better ones or worse ones, whatever your.
That was mild compared.
This was really an argument about. It wasn't even so much an argument. We're both pissed. That's back when we used to get super passionate about the Texans.
Right.
I haven't whipped that kind of emotion up in.
No.
5 years,
it's
4 years.
It's so hard. You know it's what? If they lose every game and the defense
I've
sucks.
Been more passionate about Jack Easterby pulling shenanigans and Bill O'Brien ruining. Honestly, the most passionate and probably that I've gone on a rant is about when I knew all the stuff Bill and Jack were doing behind the scenes to ruin the organization. And they did. They ruined it. They got to a point where they took it to the studs, and now they went to complete zero. And so now you got to try to rebuild the house and flip it.
And Jack Easterby has just done. Speaking of Deshaun getting away with it, and Deshaun, Jack Easterby allegedly has a $5 million a year. I've heard it's $5 million a year.
I don't think it's not that much.
I don't think it's that much. But I don't care. He should not be being paid by this organization. He was as complicit on this demise as Bill O'Brien was.
See what happened?
How in the F is he not only still employed, but they gave him a huge contract, and he makes important decisions. How is that possible with the way he destroyed this organization?
But do you see what happens? You get more passionate about that than anything having to do with the Texans. That's not good.
No. Hey, 813 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. And the reason I get like this is because I hear so many stories behind the scenes from guys that were in the organization that are like, oh, my, it's bad. It is bad. And hopefully it's not that way anymore, that Nick has taken it over. And actually,
yeah, I think it's better.
I think so, too. You know what's taken me and what's going to take me over today? We're going to play Carlton Woods today, as a matter of fact. And I'm going to get cold, clean, and refreshed. I was at Wildcat yesterday getting refreshed. I was refreshed all day, okay, with Coors Light. And listen, it is the world's most refreshing beer, and I'm doing my part to keep Texas chill. Are you doing your part to keep Texas chill? Because if you're not, you need to pick up a six-pack, a 12-pack, a case. Make sure that you've always got them at the house. Make sure that as soon as you open your refrigerator, you can see the Blue Mountains. And if somebody comes over, you're able to hand them a nice, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. The world's most refreshing beer. Keeping Texas chill. Do your part. It's a bajillion degrees. ERCOT says turn off. You can turn off all your air conditioning and still be refreshed with a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. You want to keep Texas chill? You do it by picking up a case of Coors Light at your local store. Coors Light. Keep Texas chill, baby.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Can we talk about
713-780-3776.
I'm gonna say something that's unpopular. I know the popular thing is to just say everything is terrible with the Texans. I get it. Sometimes it can be fun for people, be fun for us. They're easy to clown because they've done such clownish stuff over the last 4 years. But the reality is, I like the red helmets. I like them. I like they offset the bull a little bit. I like the red. I like the color of the red. As somebody who likes,
they need to do something different.
Yeah. Ugh. You got to get out of your.
And frankly, you know what? I like the ketchup bottle. I like the ketchup bottle alternate uniforms.
No, I think that for number one, taking the bull and making it a little smaller and offsetting it, I think looks good. But it's. Hey, I mean it's a start on a rebrand. You've washed all the. Let's face it.
But they're only going to use it one game. Why?
Well, that makes no sense. Well, we'll see if they only use it one game.
They are. They said they're breaking it out against the Eagles. That's it. Thursday game.
Well, they're limited in how often they can.
Yeah.
The same way there's limitations on. But I wouldn't surprise me if this became maybe their staple helmet in the future.
I would hope so. Do something different. You have the most boring uniforms in the league. You know what? Change it up. Tampa did. Tampa went although I do love the Dreamsicles.
Yeah, that was the Dreamsicles. I mean, that's old school.
That's old school. And you know what? They should bring them back.
What was better, the Dreamsicles or the old Vancouver Canucks jerseys? Do you remember those things?
No.
Oh my God.
The Astros. They found out that the brick. That they use the Bagwell and Biggio era.
I
that's no good.
That.
Let's go back to a good uniform. These uniforms are great now. Oh yeah, those are awesome.
I mean, they're totally so bad, they're good. Yeah.
They're so awesome. You know, do something, Texans. Do something. Rebrand so people. Honestly, I wore a Texans hat. There was a Texans hat in Tim Lodici's office at Wildcat, and I go, look at this, a Texans hat, and I go, I want this, and he said, you can have it. Go to. I wore it, and people were like, what the hell are you doing with a Texan hat on? No, I still got it, but I don't ever wear it.
Would you have paid for it?
What?
Would you have paid for that Texan hat?
Hell no. I wouldn't pay for it.
I want this. You can't just go to people's places.
I took
places.
The Alonzo's Miami hat yesterday.
I know. You can't just go to people's places and say, I want this and
yes,
get
you
it.
Can. Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Well,
that's
if you
theft.
Don't ask, God has always said, if you don't ask, you shall not receive.
It's not what God's saying about you getting free stuff.
Yeah, that's what.
He didn't mean that about free stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
No, you've been misreading that receive. All these years. You've been like, you didn't mean to get free stuff?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I meant, John. Ask of me. Don't ask of people around you to get their free stuff.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
That's not in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease is not in the Bible.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Peter said it or somebody.
Peter or somebody did not say squeaky wheel gets
the
now,
grease.
Now, it's true, but they didn't say that.
Well, you don't know. You didn't read the whole Bible. You don't know.
That's true, but I still feel like I'm going to
be
right
on this one.
It could be in
Deuteronomy. It could be in Exodus. You don't know. Anyway, I don't think they had wheels in Exodus. But anyway, 713-780-3776 is the number. I like it, too. Do something different, Texans. Not just put the biggest – oh, my gosh. When they put the logo on the back above the nameplate, like they had a giant video come out and more. At first there was the logo. It was so dumb.
Look, can we both agree that the red helmet is a much better look?
Oh, it's a great it's an excellent start.
It really is.
Start.
It really is. It
Let's
needs
go
to
now.
Be followed up.
How about a white with the all white unis? How about a white helmet with the all
whiteouts?
Whiteout.
I don't know if whiteouts would look good.
Oh, whiteout would look tremendous.
Name a uniform you've ever seen a whiteout.
That's why you do it. That's exactly why
I've never
you do
seen it.
It.
I've seen James in the all-white party after he was eliminated when he was throwing that game. Had a really bad game against the Spurs.
And then he was in the when all, he got, at the all-white party?
Yeah, he was at Rick Ross's party when he literally made it there like in 2 hours after the game, like, gotta go! Actually, they said he went to, I think, Dreams. And he went to a strip club and then went to the...
Well, you got to make a stop. You can't
he
go
direct. Stop in.
You can't go direct.
Hey, I'm going to pop in.
He couldn't fly direct. It's a one stop.
I'm going to pop in. I'm going to make two times around the club, right? That's the rule. Two times around, say what's up to everybody, and we're getting a Ricky Rose spot. Okay, that sounds good. So James has done it. That's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah. No,
after that one game that was thrown, that was really bad... that he refused to shoot and held the ball from about 33 feet out.
Oh, please, please. Dustin, hold up. The Texans did do something to their uniforms. The logo represents our team. The logo represents our spirit. It's on our helmet. Now it's on our back. I love Mark. He had to be cringing when he had to read that.
No.
He had to be. The red helmet is cool. I can't read this. Well, that stupid bull has to go. It's their logo. It's the Texans. It's what they
By
do.
By the way, I finally saw that Josh Christopher, K-Mac sent it to me. This had to be what you're talking about. Josh Christopher, when he has the ball in Summer League.
Oh, yeah. And people
and they show him running to every dog's bowl and eating from every bowl, eating the bowl of knocking... knocking all the water. It's such an a-hole, this dog barking at other dogs and then taking their water and their food by bullying them. And like somebody said,
that dog took the bowl and poured it into his bowl.
Yeah.
Did
this
you
is the
see
smartest
that?
Dog I've ever seen. He said, Josh Christopher, when he has the ball in Summer League. And it's just this dog who's basically bullying all the dogs, taking their food. When he has water, he splashes all the water out of the bowl and then leaves. And then Josh Christopher saw it and was cracking up. It is true, though. Josh Christopher had no...
Josh Christopher laughed at it.
He had to have zero assists. No assists. Never an assist. Never lost.
Why would I give up the ball in Summer League? Thank you, no. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Yes. Anyway, our let's do this on let's do Astros on the other side because we haven't talked about the Astros in a while, and they've got you got Ohtani tonight. You get a little Ohtani tonight. How's that going to?
Are you scared? Are you
I ain't scared of Ohtani. I ain't scared of him.
Ooh, what were you about to say?
I wasn't going
to
say anything. Javier versus Ohtani. Who you got?
Javier versus Ohtani. I will take Christian Javier.
You will.
Well, I mean, there's a chance that a no-hitter could go. It's going to be a good one. It should be, your over-under should be about 7.5 is my guess. Will be the over-under. Now,
I'll go over.
Are we going Christian Javier, one who you can't get a hit at all against, or Christian Javier who actually gave up home runs? That was in Houston, though, but he did give up, what, 3-4 bombs? That ended up being 4 bombs to the Royals? No, this isn't the Royals. Royals are one of the best hitting teams that this country's ever seen.
No, this is different.
That our nation has ever seen. The Royals are one of the best hitting teams that our nation has ever seen. Even back the 27.
Well, my boys and girls, the 27 Yankees are up against it as they take on the juggernauts from the 2022 Kansas City Royals in this battle of time travel. The 2022 Royals are unstoppable. Home runs out of the park left and right. Even the Babe says, hang on for a second, kids. This is going to be tough to keep up with them. Even Charlie Gehringer is terrified of the 2022 Royals, who seem like an unstoppable force of nature with Benintendi and other guys that you've never heard of.
That's what you get.
You heard of Benintendi and Whit Merrifield?
Watch out from Whit Merrifield, kids. Hey, say, kids, would you rather have an autographed package of chewing gum from Whit Merrifield or whatever his name is?
Whit Merrifield.
Merrifield or from the Babe? Say, a lot of the kids in the streets are saying they want Whit Merrifield. We're tired of the Babe. We want Whit Merrifield. Yeah, that Whit Merrifield's a very good ball player. He's very good with his bat. He's also a two-way player. I'm sick and tired of watching Charlie Gehringer bungle the ball out there. Give me one of the Royals, the 22 Royals. That's where he's at. Yeah, kids.
Because that's how kids used to talk.
That's how
if you've
like
ever
that.
Seen videos from like the 30s, kids used to say what you hear the broadcast. The broadcast absolutely says,
and kids, this is going to be quite a matchup here. Of the Boston Red Stockings take on the New York Yankees as Babe Ruth, the prodigious slugger from Melbourne.
That's how it sounds. And little kids sound like this.
Well, I ought to find a way to get my ball glove and get out there to the game and play a nice game of baseball. Hey, where'd you learn to talk like that, Tommy? My dad's from Brooklyn, and this is how we talk. And I want to find a very nice haircut for I can get my hair cut up very nice for a penny. That's right, Tommy, you can. And Palmol can help you get there. Palmade. You can have a dapper dandy haircut from Palmade.
I wish it was a 20 so my kids talked that way. Snacks did kind of used to talk like that when he was little.
Did he?
Little bit.
Like alfalfa? He talked like alfalfa?
No, but man, I'm going to try to find some videos for... We had a video of this Babe Ruth. I've told this story before. These little kids from the 30s, I was blown away at how they talked. I'm like, how did we get from, do you understand it? The Revolutionary War, we came from England. You ever hear that accent, John? Have you ever heard a British accent before?
Yeah.
It's a little different than,
hey, see, I don't know how we got there.
Where did that come from? I can see how the Australians, you know, eventually their mouths, you know, I don't know. They were already criminals who came from England. So you got the Australians that, we're going to come over here. And then you get us. And then by the early 1900s, we're already like,
hey, look at me. This is the way I talk.
Like, that's not how British people.
What about little children talking like this?
How do you talk like that? Does enough plagues hit you that it just changes your mouth?
Well, you grew up in the streets as opposed to British royalty.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we got to take a break. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. I want to talk about we have a new client, Artisan Grange, and it's a new way to dip. And guys, listen, I don't dip, but I've got a lot of buddies who do, and it's gross. I mean, you got the stuff that's hanging out, your spit, and you got your spit cups, and it's just – and oh, by the way, it's not healthy. It just isn't. I don't know. If you dip, You know, it's just not help. It's not good for you. It's not healthy. It's got tobacco. It's there's implications health wise. Listen, I'm not going to put that on you, but I would just want to tell you it's not healthy. I got a healthy way to dip. A new way to dip with hemp. It's hemp pouches filled with hemp and CBD. No tobacco, no nicotine. It contains 5 milligrams full spectrum CBD per pouch. And listen, I can't tell you that you're going to feel better. Legally, I can't say that, but I'm going to tell you what. People are raving about the CBD in these and what it's doing for them. So this is really, really, really cool. And your girlfriend has got to, or your wife has got to be like, she's like, yeah, really dipping, ugh, gross. Stop being gross. Check this out for yourself and see for yourself. You're still going to get that satisfaction, and you're going to get that tobacco flavor, but you're going to do it healthy. It's all at 975dip.com. 975dip.com. Go there, see for yourself.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
As we speak, Kyle Tucker just doubled into the right field corner.
This is a replay, John.
Yeah, I know that.
It's not as we speak.
It's as we speak on the replay. Kyle Tucker just doubled into the corner.
Altuve just scored. Hey, let's see if we can get, hey, we got a chance for a big inning here. No outs, man, at second and third. You got Breggy
up 6-5 in the ninth.
Up 6-5 in the ninth, man. You got a chance at a big inning here.
Breggy's up. They'll walk Breggy.
Spoiler alert.
With first base open.
Yeah, spoiler alert. They only score one run. But, spoiler alert, Ryan Pressly came in. And let me tell you something. I don't know if it's my words that have generated this fire in Ryan's belly.
Nothing to do with you.
Am I kind of
responsible? Your hatred?
I'm kind of responsible. No. I asked my closer to be a closer, and you know what he's done? He said, you know what, Lance? You're right. I am not conducting myself like a major league closer. The city of Houston is a little disappointed with me. And you know what he's done since then? I think it was six that you counted out earlier. Six straight appearances of basically it's really hard to get a hit on.
No
him,
hit, it's really no walks, easy. No base runners, up three down. Yeah. With a bunch of strikeouts.
And that's what I've always wanted, man. I want a closer that when they come,
so you
they
think
close.
Because you were hating on him after the Yankee game that you changed
did you
this season?
It was me? Did you check Twitter? Oh, I think it was an entire city. I'm not sure if it
well,
was just
he
me.
Changed his name to Stressley.
Yeah, I'm telling you this. And this has been going on for a while. His warning shot saves where warning track saves where you know, a 3-0 game becomes a 3-1, 3-2 game. That kind of stuff is not closer material. What we're seeing now is closer material.
Yeah.
This has been phenomenal. I mean, the competition not as good now, but he also did that against the Yankees. He was able to close out the Yankees. And Ryan Pressly has been dominant. I mean, he truly has been dominant in this 6-game stretch. And when I say dominant, like, it's hard to hit against him. It's easy to strike out against him.
Yeah.
That's what it's been.
That's what dominant is. Yuli just popped up, bases loaded, nobody out in the ninth with a one-run game, and Yuli just popped out and stranded those runners, and now Pena is going to as well. So, listen, without Yordan in the line, you've lost the best hitter in baseball. You lost the best hitter in baseball, and you're still able to put up the sixth spot here against these Angels and win a baseball game. Well, a game that you almost threw away, literally threw away in the seventh inning, and one of the worst innings I remember in Astros history. It could not have been sloppier with two double play balls that were thrown away at second base, a hit by pitch, a couple of walks, a passed ball, 4 runs on nothing. They did nothing and got 4 runs. I mean, you talk about wow. But to win that game after you do that, that's saying something about – that's some nuts. And Kyle Tucker. I like Kyle Tucker in a three-hole. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, you got to admit, you know, Dusty has made some alterations to the lineup right now, especially with Yordan out. You know, it changes
some things. You'd be an idiot to keep Tucker at five That'd have to be dumb without Yordan in the lineup.
Oh, without Yordan in the lineup.
Kyle Tucker is your best hitter.
But he's also going, right now.
Right now.
Yeah, but he's going back to five when Yordan comes back. But it's, you can play some games here and there. I don't know that I understand it, why you want to split up your left-handed bats. I still think you make decisions based upon your best chance to win. But I do understand that analytically, most hitters, I think the Astros are different. It's gotten bad for Michael, for Uncle Mike Brantley. He struggles against lefties. Yordan doesn't care at all. Lefty, big deal. You can be a lefty if you want. Yordan hits lefties. That's not a problem. So you could have Yordan behind another lefty, and it doesn't really bother Yordan. If you had two lefties right next to each other who hit lefties well, and I have to look at Kyle Tucker to see what his splits look like, but if they hit lefties well, then you almost don't worry about it. You say, yeah, we'll go lefty-lefty. We don't care because these two guys hit lefties well, so we're not going to worry about you bringing a left-hand reliever. That's the only reason you worry about having lefties next to each other, or righty-righty, whatever the case may be.
Well,
if you've got,
I'm looking at Yordan right now. Yordan's in .239 against lefties.
Is he really?
.341 against righties.
Oh, wow. Then it's come way down from when they first, because they had a conversation about it on the broadcast. Maybe it's a little further back than
it's so much harder to see a lefty.
No, there's
the ball.
No question. Yeah, there's no question.
Sneaks what's up
his
on you.
Maybe they're looking at OPS. What's his OPS against lefties?
I'm not. Here's Kyle Tucker. Surprisingly, Kyle Tucker hits lefties better than he hits righties.
Mm-hmm.
His OPS against lefties is .825. His OPS against righties is .842. But his average is better.
Hit your back and go back to Yordan and see what his OPS was, because maybe that's what Blummer and Callis were talking
about. I don't mind Yordan up against anybody.
No.
You know. Yordan splits. Oh, they took me out of it.
Should just be able to hit back and get to it.
I did and didn't. His splits against the lefties and righties. His LPS against righties is .1185.
Jeez.
His against lefties is .817.
Oh, wow. So he has really come down then.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, then that answers it. I mean, then, yeah, you don't want Yordan against left. That's a little concerning.
.817 ain't so bad.
No, it's all right. Yeah. But it's a little concerning come playoff time, because Yordan was a non-factor in the World Series, huge factor in the first two series, but non-factor in the World Series. All the talk about Yordan being the best hitter in baseball, I still think he is. I'm just a little surprised that the splits look like that against left-handers.
Yeah.
His OPS to be down by over 300 points? I think that's been a more recent thing.
260, whatever. He's going to get a heavy dose in late innings against lefties.
No question.
Yep, no
question. That's what concerns me a little bit.
Yep. And so you want to split him up. You want to split that up between him and Tucker. You don't want them facing back to, because it makes it a lot easier on the opposing manager if you've got back to back lefties. It just is. So Bregman in between them, Bregman gets to see a lefty. If they're bringing in a lefty because Yordan's coming up and Tucker's coming up, Bregman's going to benefit from that because he gets to see a lefty as well. So it just makes sense. The ball gets in on you a lot quicker from a left-hander to a lefty. So that's absolutely, you want to split that up. I like Tucker in the three-hole, but listen, well, it'll be interesting to see when Uncle Mike comes back. Do not put Mike 2, Yordan 4, and Tucker 6, though. Don't do it ever again. You can't bat Tucker 6.
Lefty, lefty, lefty.
You can't do it. Tucker
done it a lot.
But finally, Dusty woke up and he put Tucker in the 5-hole.
Okay, well, are you okay with Yordan 3, Tucker 5, and Mike 2?
Well, then you go Brantley 2, Yordan 3. Yeah. Yes. Bregman 4,
two
Tucker
left-hand
5.
Batters next to each other is not the end of the freaking world.
No, well, they did.
Righties have batted next to each other for all of eternity.
Yeah, right.
We're okay. It's not going to be the end of the world.
No. So,
Not to mention the fact that Mike isn't going to play against some lefties anyway. There's going to be some lefties that Mike doesn't even get to see. Honestly, especially that Jake Meyer's here now and the way Aledmys Diaz is hitting, the Astros are going to find more at-bats for Aledmys Diaz.
They're going to have to. Yep. 842 ESPN. Although, he every year, he can't find his way into the lineup.
He can't find his way into health.
That's a problem. At least he's healthy this year. At least he's contributing. Man, that two batters in, you're up 2-0 after he smoked that one off Thor last night. That was awesome. That was awesome. And now Presley is in to close this thing out dominantly, which he has been doing, no thanks to Lance. 843 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All thanks to me.
Your hatred. You think your hatred is playing a role in Presley?
No. Okay. I just was disappointed.
Okay.
But I'm not that disappointed anymore.
Time to talk about hair and time to talk about Doc Linville. I'm looking at my hair right now on Twitch, and I got to tell you, it's pretty good. No, it's not. It's really good. And the process is the best thing about it. If you're looking for a great way to get hair easily, affordably, I'm not going to say painlessly, but it's minimal. There is some discomfort. Obviously, it's going to be when they're taking hair from the side and putting it on the top of your head. I would do it again. I would do it all over again. And I love the outcome. That's the whole thing. Is you're getting results? And the answer is yes. Doc Linville's getting results all the time. And he's become like one of the biggest hair movers in the city. And I'm going to say it's not hair replacement. It's hair moving. Because you take it from the side of your head and you put it up on top, and side and back, and you put it up on top. He's one of the biggest hair movers in the city of Houston now. And that's like a side job for him. But listen, it ain't no side job for you. You want the best, and you're going to get the best. You're going to get the neo-grafting from Doc Linville. Go to 975hair.com. Start the process. It's so simple. 975hair.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You got this Jamarcus Russell thing, RJ? Apparently, Jamarcus Russell was on some podcast. On Bleacher Report, and what the question was about being a bust, and Jamarcus Russell is okay. Is he the biggest bust ever?
Yeah, I mean, probably so. Ryan Leaf was pretty bad.
Well, Ryan Leaf was bad because they traded up for him. They gave up more.
Maybe that makes him worse.
That's worse.
Maybe it's worse. And there was a legitimate question that a lot of people were asking Ryan Leaf. Peyton Manning. Who are you going to take?
Yeah.
Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning?
I remember at the time I would have taken Ryan Leaf. And I would obviously we didn't talk. I didn't talk to the guys and do the study and all of that. But I thought Ryan Leaf was going to be a great, great, great NFL quarterback. And Ryan Leaf was one of the biggest busts ever. Jamarcus Russell may have surpassed him. Jamarcus Russell was awful. And Jamarcus Russell knows it. He was on the pivot. Is that what it's called? He was on the pivot. And here's Jamarcus Russell.
Do you consider yourself the biggest bust in NFL draft history?
When you look at it that way, I say I must have been the best to be the biggest, right? I'll say my didn't turn out how I wanted it to or not how they expected it to, but if you're going to call me a bust, like you say, put the biggest on that of mine.
I love it.
If you're going to say it, put the biggest on that, but that's don't bother me, man. Like, that shit is not in my world. That bus don't have, it don't apply in my shit. It don't apply in none of my family. It don't apply in none that we have going on. So, man, they can bus all they want.
Well, I don't expect
he said was put the biggest on the MF-er.
Yeah.
Right.
He is. I mean, whether he likes it or not, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
I don't expect him to be happy about being labeled that. Some guys are okay with it. I'm sure he's not, but Quincy Avery had a tweet yesterday. He's a quarterback guru, works with young quarterbacks, college quarterbacks. Is Deshaun Watson's guy. He's like, just watch it on the pivot. Doesn't seem like he was super accountable for how things went down, but I'm glad he seems to be in a good place. I think that's yeah, that's probably accurate if you listen to the whole thing. I would imagine it's, I mean, he just didn't, they said, so people who are at Oakland, I've heard this in, when I was in NFL Network, one of the players, one of the former NFL players who was in there, somehow his name came up. I don't even remember who it was. It was this year, too. They were talking about it. And they said they were talking to players who were on the team who said, dude, from the beginning, that dude literally didn't care. Like, he came in, he got his check, and they realized, the veterans in the locker room realized immediately, oh, my God, this guy literally does not care about playing football or winning at all. And they realized, the veterans who were there, oh, I know who it was. I'll tell you who it was later. Who realized, oh, this is a huge, huge problem. And they said it would, you know, they found out very quickly that what you saw early on, because most rookies try to be on their best, you know, even when they're trying to stand up for themselves or be, you know, hot shots, they still want you to see the best side of themselves. They're still trying to, you know, show you the best they've got. And they were like, this guy almost didn't even care about veterans. He didn't care what anyone thought of him. He was just like, man, I'm not doing that. That is too much work. Mm-hmm. They're like, it's literally a day of lifting weights and practice. This is literally every day of the rest of your career. Mm. What now? This is too much? And like, no, I'm not doing all
is
that.
It, is it,
I'm
though?
Not doing all that should not be something that you're saying when you're literally just, you know, in training camp.
Wow. I ain't doing that. I ain't about that work life. I'm out. Well, he was, and it turned into one of the biggest busts ever. Let me ask you a question. Is it too early? Here is a 53-man projection of the Houston Texans. It's going to be Davis Mills and Kyle Allen. Okay?
It's a little light at quarterback, but whatever.
It's light at quarterback.
I could use a third, maybe.
Probably going to get a third. Although Kevin Hogan, is that going to be probably there's going to be somebody, but I can't imagine Kevin Hogan's going to be on the roster. I don't know. I can't imagine that he's going to be good enough to actually make it. Running backs: Marlon Mack, Rex Burkhead, Damian Pierce, Dare Ogunbowale, and Andy Janovich. Fullback:
he's a blocker. I'm all right with that.
It would be okay.
It's, you know, whatever. I like Damian Pierce. I like them in. I like Damian Pierce coming out of the draft. He's a hard player, really tough runner. And Marlon Mack has size, has some speed. I'm actually just fine with that. I'm just fine with what they've got right now. Burkhead does his thing. Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
I'd like to see Pierce get carries, but we'll see. Wide receiver: Cooks, Collins, Nico Collins, John Metchie, Chris Conley, and Davion Davis.
That's not that good.
Nico,
yeah. Who's your third? Conley?
Metchie.
Well, he's your third, and he's got an ACL tear. That's not ideal.
Yeah, but he's going to be back.
January, right? Early January. When did he have surgery?
I think they're projecting him to be there at camp. It's the start of camp.
So it's a 7-month rehab a lot of times now?
Yeah.
When did he have the surgery?
I don't know that.
Hopefully pretty quick. Let's say he had it late January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. That would put him in August. That would put him in camp.
And even camp, forget it. Well, you got until September to get there. So, you know, I'm hoping John Metchie is going to be a big part of the offense this year. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they are too. Brevin Jordan, Farrell Brown, Anthony Alclair, and Tegan Quatoriano.
Say it again.
Brevin Jordan, Farrell Brown, Anthony Alclair, and Tegan Quatoriano.
Not ideal.
No. But
Alclair's tough, limited.
I think Brevin Jordan's going to be okay this year.
Tegan's a blocker. Brevin Jordan is a pass catcher, not a blocker. He needs to work on blocking. And if Farrell Brown has become a decent blocker,
Farrell Brown is
going to
be all pro this year. He told you that.
He did?
Yeah, he said that. He said he's going to be.
Let me say that. Farrell's another guy who's mad at me.
Why is Farrell mad at you?
Because I said his hands weren't great. Because he had like a billion drops.
Well, he does catch like two balls. I think he had two catches or something.
Yeah, I said his hands weren't great in my scouting report, and Farrell did not like that.
Earlier this offseason, he said he was going to be all pro.
That's good. I like that energy.
All pro.
Yeah, I like that energy.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Offensive line.
I'm gonna take no on that one. I hope I'm wrong.
It's rare that you go from like two catches to pro, all pro.
You don't see it much.
No, I don't ever.
Maybe Antonio Gates kind of caught people sleeping.
I think he had more than two catches. I don't want to. It's just kind of crazy. Farrell Brown. Head likes Farrell Brown. I'm about that. Okay.
And Jamarcus Russell liked Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, and I can't blame him. He's only got one Jamarcus Russell, so he might as well like him.
Yes. Boy.
Laramie Tunsil, Titus Howard, Kenyon Green, AJ Cann, Justin Britt, Charlie Heck, Justin McCray, Jimmy Morrissey, and Austin DeCoulis.
I saw Austin at O-Line Masterminds. It sounds like,
it's not bad.
Sounds like an NFL starting offensive.
You've got three. Where was Britt drafted?
Justin Britt, I want to say, was like a third rounder, maybe a second rounder.
AJ Cann, where was he drafted?
AJ was, I think, a second.
Okay. You got three first rounders. That's not bad.
Justin Britt was a second rounder. Yeah, but where they were drafted is kind of irrelevant.
Well, like, no, AJ but they, at least they've drafted, got, you know that they've
I'm
got,
pretty sure AJ was
they're,
a
they're
second
talented
rounder.
At least.
Oh, he's third rounder. AJ Cann was the third. Justin Britt was the second.
Okay. I mean, yeah, Justin Britt's getting up there, but okay. I think that's an okay offensive line.
AJ Cann is too. He's older than you probably think.
Yeah.
How old is he? He was in
32?
The first
two.
He's 30. 30. He was in the first draft class that I wrote up in 2015.
Okay.
So he's been around a little bit.
That's fine.
30-year-old.
30-year-old offensive lineman I'm okay with.
Justin Britt. Oh, sure. This is not our forever guard. Britt, 31. Laramie Tunsil's probably about 27 would be my guess. Maybe 26, actually.
Did I miss something? This is projected. Did they cut Max Sharping already?
No. It's projected. They're projecting Max Sharping's going to get cut.
Okay.
I would project that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Max Sharping should still be there.
Find work.
Yeah, he's still with the Texans. He should. He's got a chance to find work, but he's also got a chance to be done with football. Max has got to, something's got to click with him because he started off pretty well, and then this is what I was told. I was told that he got dominated by I think it was Brandon Williams with the Baltimore Ravens, and Max lost all of his confidence. He's not a strong guy per se. He really is probably more of a tackle than a guard, but I think he can play guard. He just, when the power guys play against him, he struggles against power. And if you can't play power, man, I don't know what to tell you. Playing guard you might want to learn to snap, see if you can play some center.
He's big. He's a little big for center. He's a really tall dude.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll do the defense on the other side. Right now, though, we're talking about Chastang Ford. I'm excited about Chastang Ford, especially July 18th. We're going to get some big news out of there July 18th. We're also going to get the F-150 that we can order again. You can order most all of your other vehicles right now at Chastang Ford. Almost all of them you're able to order right now. ChastangFord.com, or you go to the dealership and order there. But on July 18th, you can start ordering your F-150s again. So get in line. Get on over there. You don't have to get in line. You can actually just do it all online at ChastangFord.com. As soon as you go to ChastangFord.com, there will be a little box that pops up that says, hey, how you doing? Thanks for joining us. How can we help you? That's the kind of service that you get at Chastang Ford. What you get is people who care. What you get is people that are going to get you at the payments that you have to have. What you get is you're not going to get any add-ons. What you get is not going to have any markups. What you get is just the best car buying experience that you're going to have. Period. Exclamation point. I will fight you. I will fight you on this one because I love Chastang Ford. I love being part of the Chastang family, and you'll be part of the Chastang family too. At ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastang Ford.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.